Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Get it out!
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, Cypher, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And.
Hey.
Oh,
but Cypher, have you thought about it?
That's my jam.
Yeah, do the version. So
ready? You know who I am?
Here we go. Let him know.
Because name dropper, Mr. Name dropper. I'm the name dropper, Mr. Name dropper.
You're a horrible
name
rapper.
I'm not rapping.
Name dropper.
I name drop a lot.
Hey.
That's what I do.
Do I have to call you by your government?
What do we call you?
Pete, you guys have been my guys for so long,
what do we
man.
Call you
can call me whatever, man.
Do it all. From Lords of the Underground
right,
is here,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's
He's
right.
also Dupre Kelly. He's a city councilman in Newark. Blah, 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 blah. Big time politician. Blah. He's wearing matching clothes and fresh sneakers. He looks great. But for the purposes of this one at podcast, he's do it all do. What's popping, man?
Man, Pete, what up, man? Sife, what's up, man?
Man, you make me so proud, bro.
Oh, wow.
I of all your accomplishments. And I've been waiting to see you to tell you, but just the way you handle your business, man, to go from where you are, where we come from.
Yeah.
And to be this.
The pivot is real, man.
I respect the pivot. I pivoted.
I know you do. Because you're doing all the funnies out there.
Yeah, you're full-fledged comedian.
That's why I love. That's part of what I'm saying.
And
I
he's
love.
Funny though. Pete.
I love a pivot.
He's very funny. I've known for a long time, so I'm kind of over it. But
well,
whenever
he watched it go.
They go,
nothing.
Oh, he's funny. I go, yeah, I know. He's been doing. I mean, Sife, yo, I look up at some of the old things when you were doing comedy corners.
No.
You were having he would be like, hey, we're having up a random improviser.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like some literally some the nerdiest. Like, look at this guy right here, Liam. But he's a cool version of what Sife would bring up.
Yeah,
so you can imagine what I'm talking about.
Right.
No, but listen, I'm just trying to decide between the two of you. Who do you think's the bigger sellout?
Him, for sure.
It's gotta be do it.
It's gotta be Sife, right?
No, you're
a politician.
No,
hey, I remember coming to a comedy show with I used to hang with my guy Tracy Morgan a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts to Trey Moore.
Joint. Yeah. You know, and it was on Valentine's Day or something. Mm-hmm. It was for the women.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
So Sife is the biggest sellout. He did it for the women.
He will quit.
Right.
He will quit.
I see what you're saying. Actually, you're right, because I am really down with the Watts.
No, by the way.
And you are a politician in Newark. So
you're right.
I am the biggest sellout.
100%.
He kept it.
Yeah, you're hanging out with like Michelle Wolf and he's in the streets of Newark.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Newark.
Yeah, with Hakeem and Rashid.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's a fact.
And Shakita.
So how far how long ago did you make the political moves? When did they begin? What year?
Man, honestly, man, to be honest, my old manager, Hafiz Fareed, he was chief of staff to a politician when Lords of the Underground was at our apex, right?
So he was your manager.
Yeah.
But he was also chief of staff of
a politician.
Oh, what? Like a same thing, councilman?
Councilman, yeah. City councilman by the name of Ralph T. Grant. Dr. Ralph T. Grant, let me put some speck on his name.
Yeah.
And so he had us knocking on doors and all of that. And one day he asked me, I mean, y'all know me. Y'all have known me since I was 19 years old. So one day I had Newark on my clothes and all of that, like I've been doing for years. And he asked me, he was like, he saw me in a studio one day.
The councilman.
My manager, Hafiz Fareed. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you Newarked out today. And I was like, I'm always Newarked up. And he was like, what was the last thing you did for Newark?
Mm.
And I got defensive.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I put on
for my
set
city.
It on the song.
I got it.
Just shout them out.
And he was like, I'm not talking about promotion and marketing.
Right.
What have you done for your city? And he stumped me.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you're never going to stump me again. Mm. And every time we did a show, I would make sure that I would, you know, I wasn't really a big church goer, but I did believe in tithing, meaning like giving something to the less fortunate who didn't have. So I would take 10% of my hip hop money from shows, tours and all of that. And I wouldn't necessarily put it in church, but I would put it into the community. And it started, you know, I started a nonprofit organization. I started a lot of different things. And that was just one of the cogs in the wheel. But Tupac Shakur, back in 1992, we had a conversation in Orlando. We were on a Tupac.
Name dropper? Mr. Yeah, name dropper?
Number one. That, by the way, dropper. Tupac's the number one name dropper.
Oh, yeah. Pac.
But Pac is the one who told me, don't move from my community. Make sure that you start a nonprofit organization. And also, you might have to do something you don't want to do, and that's run for office. So turn those millions of record buyers into millions of voters. And
he said that back then.
Back in 92.
He was already started.
Specifically to you because he felt you had that path, or he said that to everybody?
So me and Pac had got into an altercation on tour. Mm. We were sharing a van with him. This is a van days,
yeah.
You know, and motel days where you go to the room from the outside.
Yeah, the outside.
You know, so he said to me, you know, he was like, after he came to my room and he was just talking.
Well, hold on. Let's start here though. What was the van altercation about?
Being late. One of our members were late.
One of the Low Tug members?
One of the Low Tug members were late. And Pac started talking. Not Outlaws, but this is with Thug Life.
Thug Life on tour.
You know, shout out to Mo Preem, all of them. You know, this is when they were on.
I know it wasn't Lord Jazz because the DJ is never late. It can't be the DJ. The DJ has to be ready.
So we only had about 5 to 6 people with him and they had the other 10.
Okay.
And Pac used to always get in the back of the van. It was his tour. You know, he was making about $12,000 a night back then. Right.
Right. A lot of money. And he's
back
like.
Back then it was a lot of money.
And he's like,
I wouldn't mind to make $12,000 right now. What do you mean?
That's a good point. I mean, he has 10 people with him, but
right.
But so he's like, who the fuck are you to be keeping me waiting? This is my shit.
He's like, why are we not moving? You know, and then he started talking in third person, like, man, it's my tour. People will be going home. And
he was the main guy.
Oh yeah, he was definitely.
And the main guy. And then he was waiting for his people lesser than him.
And
I don't know if it was lesser.
Not lesser. Lower on the totem pole.
Not lesser than a human being, right. But someone who wasn't the star of the show.
Well, it was Pac's tour.
Right.
But was the person you were waiting for the star of the show?
No.
Pac was the star.
Pac was his Pac's tour, so Pac was the star.
And he was waiting for underlings.
No, I don't want to say it was an underling. He was waiting for the opening act. Not even the opening
act. We know what you're trying to do and do it all.
These guys know. I've been standing
I'm
in front.
I'm being political right
now. I'm standing in front of a hotel waiting for these guys.
No, it wasn't these guys.
I was.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, your comp sucks. Because he is not them.
Yeah.
Lords of the Underground was still not fucking Liam and Lucas. No. Right. All right.
Put it like this. It was Tupac's tour, but we were the next headliner after.
Right.
Pac.
Right.
You were late.
I wasn't, but you know, a member was.
Sife, let me put it like this.
Was he funky? The other member was
whoever member
was
funky?
Late. Was the person funky?
Hey, man. I mean,
Sife, they don't have it. What he's trying to say is,
I get it.
No, they don't have Chief Rocka. They had Chief Rocka.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And, but anyway, so he's like, why am I waiting? Okay.
Because we were sharing a van with the headliner. So he started talking to third person and I felt like we were getting dissed.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to third person back, even though I was wrong. But I start, you know, I just couldn't be embarrassed because every time he says something, Thug Life, you know, they kikiing, and then I start talking to third person, and then when it started to get heated, then the other member came onto the bus. I mean, onto the van. So I said, all right, now I can stop and let him finish. And then, long story short, we went to the sound check, came back. The show was actually canceled because the promoter didn't pay all of the money to Pac. Mm. So the show was canceled. But Pac came to my room. He had two 40s in his hand. He had a blunt behind one ear. He had a Newport behind the other. You know, a T-shirt under his arm. I opened the door, man. And when I opened the door, he was like, yo, you gonna let me in? He handed me a 40. He took the Newport out of his ear. And it's where you could smoke in the hotels. Lit up the Newport.
Ah, the good old days.
Right. And then, man, he just started dropping stuff that I wouldn't believe that a 21-year-old person would speak about back then. Or 20-year-olds, whatever we were. And he started talking about, like, I never heard it, man. Like, Black Panther stuff. Don't move where you from and turn your record buyers into voters. And we might have to do something that we don't want to do. And that's become legislators. Even though I went to college, Shaw University, I almost didn't know legislation was. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, if we don't make the laws for us, then somebody else will make laws for us. You know?
So he was on that in 92.
92. This is Orlando, Florida, 1992 in a motel. And actually on another podcast, we showed him because his limo broke down that day. We showed him in the limo with us talking about this type of stuff. So Lord Jazz got all of the VHS.
Oh, there's VHSs of this.
Oh no, this is real talk.
That Lord Jazz had.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy too, because I don't know that I ever like the recent Pac series gave me a lot of insight into just like how deep he was.
Yeah.
With regard to like, yeah, like I believe what you're saying. Like, no, it makes
different.
Sense.
He was different. He was different.
And it wasn't always visible on the outside if you were just a fan of the music.
No.
Like, you didn't necessarily understand how deep he was. It wasn't all reflected yet. I mean, if you were digging into all the album cuts, you could hear it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for those of us who are hearing I Get Around.
No, you wasn't.
You're not processing what this guy was about. Did you continue to know him well, given his Jersey connects, et cetera? Because I would imagine y'all had many run-ins.
So I never said this to, well, I haven't said this to many people, but I introduced Fatal to Pac.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Fatal's from Jersey. Gaddafi's from Jersey. Muta Quim, who was the DJ and a producer from Jersey.
Young Noble. These are the Outlaws.
Yeah, these are the Outlaws. Young Noble. All of these people are from Jersey. You know, that's why Pac had a special relationship with us, because our manager, Hafiz Fareed, it has a special relationship with all of Pac's family members. And Jamal Joseph put me in independent movies because of my relationship with Pac. You know, and a lot of people didn't know that because I didn't really, you know, exploit it.
Yeah.
This was just my guy.
When I was young, a young DJ, my first couple of gigs in Jersey, this is why I was threatened, because I wasn't playing enough Pac.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, I only have I Get Around with me.
What do you want me to play?
Right.
Bro, they used to get, you had to play Pac in Jersey. It was crazy.
And Muta, who's now in Saudi Arabia, you know, that was my little brother, like, you know. So all of them was from Jersey, man. Shout out to Edie. He wasn't from Jersey, but most
Where's
of
he from?
I think Edie is from Georgia or somewhere. Mm.
It's very interesting. The Tupac-Jersey relationship is a interesting one. Yeah. It also sort of adds to Tupac's legend that he's so connected to so many places.
Yeah.
Deep Jersey connect. Mm-hmm. Pretty deep Harlem connect. Mm-hmm. Baltimore connect.
Right, yeah. Baltimore,
the Bay connect.
Yeah.
LA connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's so much.
Yeah, so it's just interesting.
Yeah, he would have easily been the mayor of Oakland or Baltimore. Easily. At minimum. He would have been the mayor.
Yeah, I always wonder about what his ceiling was going to be. And it certainly, I don't think, was going to be music or even acting.
Mm-mm. He would have definitely did something political.
Does your family ever find it crazy that, like, you were in a situation at some point in which you were having an argument with Tupac? It's kind of like not believable. He's sort of a mythical figure. You know what I mean?
You know, Pac has turned into Elvis for our generation.
Yeah, maybe even, but more even so.
More so, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
more
because...
So.
Not more, it's just more powerful.
More powerful, more connected on a personal, in a personal way, and more mysterious.
Yes.
Because Elvis was around for so long. I mean, Elvis went from being a kid to being this sort of, you know, the fatter adult, not, you know, drug addicted version. I'm sorry.
I shame him.
No, I'm sorry.
Jesus. Right.
By the way, I kind of prefer old Elvis. I he has some joints from that era that I actually really, he had some joints, but we watched
like
him.
Y'all ain't try to watch Elvis on the weekend on all the shows back in the day.
So we watched his whole life sort of evolve to a certain degree with Tupac.
Yeah,
his light was so, it was just so fast. You know what I mean?
But when you think of Tupac now, we think of the one of the biggest figures in hip hop lore. Just hip hop alone. I'm talking about all the other stuff not included, like hip hop. But when he first started out, he was just another semi-underground rapper like all these other rappers he was around. Like a Black Moon talking about being with Tupac, you talking about it, all these people. Like, he was just another rapper.
The people who are disconnected and came along later do not understand that when Tupac dropped I Get Around and the stuff before that, Trapped and all that. Oh, the guy from Digital Underground? The dude who's down with Digital Underground put out a single. That was the most that anyone thought,
right?
At least in my experience. No, it was like, all right, cool, Pete, cool.
You're right. And the crazy thing is, my Tupac story starts before I'm in Lords of the Underground. It starts in Raleigh, North Carolina, where Lords of the Underground was discovered by Derek L.A. Jackson, you know, Marley's cousin. And, you know, he
managed, wait, I didn't know that. Well, who's that?
Derek L.A. Jackson managed Coolio. He found Scott Storch. He found The Roots. He found Lords of the Underground.
He was Marley's cousin?
Yeah, Marley's cousin.
And he met you down in...
He met us at school.
In North Carolina.
And I met Pac at school.
Doing a show? Was he doing a show?
He was doing a show.
Some promotional tour. Oh, dancing for Digital Underground.
But I met him through Saphir.
Saphir the rapper?
Saphir the rapper who played Harrow in Minister
Society.
He got popped at the light.
Yeah. Who's a dope rapper, too.
Dope rapper, man. Shout out to Saphir, man.
Yeah, shout out to Saphir. I haven't talked about Saphir in a minute.
Yeah.
Wait, that's wild. So you met Tupac when he's a dancer. What was that night? That was just a random...
So I explained it to you. So I'm popular on my campus at Shaw.
Let me guess. Were y'all already a group?
No.
Were you already rapping?
I've been rapping. So Redman was my DJ at the time, and I just went to school right before the year before I introduced him to Eric Sermon.
So Redman's your DJ, and you're popular on campus at Shaw University. Did you open for Digital Underground?
No, but I was there. Everybody was telling Digital Underground, we got this rapper here you need to meet.
Same what name? Just Do It All?
Do It All. I went to the trailer to try to meet Shock G, and who was in the trailer was Saphir. So I met Saphir. Saphir took a liking to me. Yo, come back to the hotel. We go back to the hotel. I take my man.
Back to the hotel.
Yeah. Right. I take my man from Chicago with me. We go back to the hotel. I hear a loud banging on the door. And Saphir like, who that? And he's like, it's Pop. He's like, you open the door. And Pac like, yo, where the bags at? Where the bags at, man? Who got the bags? Yo, he going through every bag. Now, back then, I think still too now, if you know guns, anybody know guns, the Glock is mostly plastic, except the barrel. So you could break the Glock down, and they used to break the Glock down and put parts of the gun in different bags, and the barrel was lost in somebody's bag. So they were putting together the gun that they bought with them from L.A.
Why did he need the gun so frantically?
I don't know. This is Tupac Shakur.
But by the way, it is
1990.
It is wild. So many of the stories are around Tupac, and this is sort of part of the conundrum of what makes him so complex. He's this brilliant guy. He'll sit you down and tell you all about what you need to do. Mm-hmm. He's also, it seems like, always involved in some frantic.
So Pac was like shit. This, though. If he was around gang members, he's going to be the gang leader. If he's around Muslims, he's going to be the imam. If he's around a bunch of Christians, then he's going to be the pastor or the bishop.
Right. He's just always that.
Politician,
he's 100% all the time.
Right. All the time. Consistent to be the leader of whoever.
But also, like, if you come from Black Panthers, guns is regular. You know what I mean?
But that was my first experience of somebody breaking apart a gun and putting it in the luggage of the people who are traveling with you. And he's looking for the barrel.
Did you end up kicking it with him that night?
I hung out with him. I took him to parties and everything.
Oh, because you knew the campus and they were there, blah, blah, blah. Right.
And that's where I started to realize at that time that Pac, to me, seemed like he was emulating Saphir. Saphir was the boss that night.
Interesting.
Yes.
You was the fly Jersey kid down in Raleigh.
And I would say this, like, it was a situation where Pac was dancing with this girl, and it was a popular guy who, that was his girl, and he was like, yo, Pac, I know who you are, but chill, you dancing too close. And Sophia was,
and that was the guy from Next.
No, I don't know. I can't confirm that.
Terrible. That was a terrible.
Shout out to RL, man. Leave RL alone.
Horrible.
Is it kind of close?
We're hearing a real, yo, see, and this is the problem with him doing comedy for too long.
Right.
That he would do that. No, so wait, the fear told Pac chill?
So Pac flared up on a guy like, you know, Pac's going to be Pac. And then the guy was like very popular. And he like, bro, I can really set it off in here. And Sophia peeped it on some street stuff. Went to the guy, stood in the guy's face, and basically told him, nah, bro, if you got a problem, you got a problem with me. And then he told Pac, chill.
But hey, also take
this.
Okay.
And he had it. Shit. Stopped it. Sophia, man. Sophia stopped all of that.
Sophia
and then
was in-
got in. And then when we got in the car and was like, don't you ever do talking to Pac. Like, don't you ever do that.
So Sophia was on some level OG stat? Not OG.
Most definitely. What if that's what you want to call it. But he was definitely in a role that Pac respected.
He was in Digital Underground?
Sophia.
No.
I mean, he was traveling with him, but he wasn't really in Digital Underground. He was his own MC at the time. They probably put him on a roll with him. Though.
He's from the Bay?
Yeah.
Redman went to Shaw or no?
No. So before I went to school, I introduced, I won tickets to EPMD Gold Party. You know, me and Redman used to go to Rush Management when it was in the Village, you know, and Faith and all of them who used to work at the desk back then gave us tickets because we used to come in there so much. They only gave me 2 tickets. So that was for me and Redman, but I wanted to bring my boy Jamil and Bree with me. And Bree is the one who sung the hook chorus on Never Faded on Laws of the Underground. And Jam C is the one who was live from the Bricks. He's the rapper on Live from the Bricks. So we needed 2 extra tickets. So I called WBLS at the time. And we won 2 more tickets. So it was me, Redman, Jam C, and Breida Bega. And I introduced, they were trying to introduce me to Eric as the rapper because I was the rapper. And that's what they did. And then Eric called us after that party and said, oh, we're going to be down in Newark. Come down Newark to Club Sensations. And
yeah, I heard this.
Club Sensations. And I got, something happened where I couldn't go to Club Sensations. So I told Breida Bega, go down there with Red. And introduce me, like, again, tell him I couldn't make it. But and Bree said, yo, I know dude's not here, but it's DJ rap too. Because Red used to do this set where he DJs and freestyles at the same time. And Eric heard him rhyme, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Did Redman tell us that story?
Maybe.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
So you've known Redman forever.
13 years old. Where his mom used to kick him out all the time, 13. Hi, Ms. Noble. I love you.
And Hurricane G.
Oh, Hurricane G, no doubt. She used to come over all the time and chill with Roz and, you know, his sister. And Faith used to always be over there all the time, too.
Faith Evans.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Faith.
Really?
Wait, oh, yeah. Faith, is that the one that worked at Rush? Not that Faith.
Not that Faith.
That was,
you talking about
Faith,
the other
was that Faith? Faith?
Singing Faith.
And who was working at Rush?
Faith Newman.
Faith Newman? Faith Newman. Okay, when she was starting out.
Yeah, she don't like when I post all of those old pictures. Well, shout out Faith.
Faith Newman's a famous executive now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So where did you meet Lord Jazz and Mr. Funky?
I met them in Raleigh, North Carolina, at Shaw University. Lord Jazz was the best DJ, you know, the top DJ in the Raleigh-Durham Triangle area, as they call it.
Raleigh, Durham, and something with a C. Cary.
That's right.
I knew it.
Cary, North Carolina. There you go.
Yeah, so Lord Jazz was the man. And Shaw University had a jazz radio station called 88.1 WSHA Jazz Radio. And his teacher, his instructor, used to give him an hour to play hip hop. He was like, when I leave the school, I don't turn on the radio because I'm there all day, so I don't want to hear anything. But make sure you play jazz. So of course, Lord Jazz didn't listen. During that hour, since he heard him say, I don't listen to the radio, he played hip hop for that hour, and it started to get very popular in the Raleigh Triangle area. And he asked myself and Mr. Funky to come up and freestyle one day. And we came up and freestyling in the whole Triangle area, all of the schools in the area. So I was like, whoever you had up there before, tell them to come back again next week and freestyle. So he was like, yo, they want y'all to come back.
Wow. He's
like, but write a rhyme together when you come back. So the first rhyme that we wrote together was Psycho Versus to Black Sheep.
But it was the Psycho Versus.
Psycho Versus. My mother has the actual demo tape of us rhyming to Black Sheep with the psycho verses.
Wow. She won't let you get it?
And she won't let me. It's in her garage. She won't let me get it. And those are the verses that got our deal with Marley Marl.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, Psycho never gets talked about. That was one of my favorite songs. That used to be on Video Music Box every day,
Psycho,
bro.
Psycho set it off for Lord of the Underground.
I don't hear people. People talk about Chief Rocka. They think Chief Rocka was first.
No,
Psycho's not. Is it on the album?
Yeah,
I'm playing.
It's on the album.
Put on your headphones, Seth.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Even RZA walked up to us, said that. Man, this is it.
Well, Psycho is it.
1-2. Membrane.
So Mr. Funky and Lord Jazz are from North Carolina?
No.
Oh.
Mr. Funky is from probably one of the worst blocks in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, he's from Newark.
High Street, Martin Luther King Boulevard. Lord Jazz is from Cleveland, Ohio. Ooh.
Y'all went down, you and Mr. Funky went down there together?
Yeah. We were in a program, a special program, where we got into trouble. And this was a second chance program. And Funky and I was on the same bus together on the same second chance program.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did y'all in one of the videos, the Lord Jazz hit me one time, make it funky, which was what? Here come the Lords, half here come the Lords, yeah, half Lord Jazz. Jazz. Yeah.
Here come the Lords.
In that video, aren't y'all wearing, is Shaw part of the African American College Alliance?
Yeah, at the time.
Do y'all wear the sweatshirts in the video or something? I thought you made some homage to like, I knew y'all were college kids.
You knew they were black?
So I knew they were black and I knew they were college kids too. Though. Like there was a college feel maybe to the video, right?
We started to film that video in Atlanta. We started in Atlanta to shoot the beginning. The beginning part of that video was at Clark University.
Mm.
And Clark, we didn't have permits. And we were on tour. So we were on tour buses and we pulled up and made this big spectacle of Clark. And they was like, oh, we love it, but you don't have permits. So they was like, no, you got to go through the city. We can't be like, we don't have that long. So the director said, we're on the tour buses. It only take a few hours. Let's go to their school. Let's go to Raleigh. So we packed it up, went to Raleigh, and I'm an alpha. Shout out to all my alpha, Phi Alpha.
Oh, 1906.
1906. 1906. You know, all my frat brothers. And so we put them in a video. We put the Q Dogs in a video. And we also put the Masons in the video.
No Kappas, though.
No Kappas.
No Kappas.
And Derek L.A. Jackson, who was our manager at the time, was a Kappa.
I want to go through the album a little bit.
Yes, yes.
So you guys signed with Marley.
Yeah, shout out to Marley Marl, man. Happy Hip Hop 50 to all of y'all, too.
So
what label again? I can't picture
the came in East on the Weir system with Pendulum.
This was a new deal for Marley, but also, this is also, I'm thinking of the other group. What was the other group he had with the...
What, Diggable Planets?
No, he had Diggable Planets? No.
No, that was Pendulum.
No, name. Marley had another group.
Oh, from Queens. You talking about...
was it KD? What was that?
Oh, K-Def and
Larry. K-Def and Larry. Yeah.
Real Live.
Yeah,
shout out to K-Def because K-Def is... So Derek Jackson bought in K-Def because...
That's Derek L.A. Jackson to you and me.
That's right, Derek L.A. Jackson. Thank you. He bought in... he used to talk to this girl that lived in Jersey. And even though Marley was his cousin, right, and Marley was a Queens guy,
yeah,
you know, he loved the stuff that we was doing, but he said to make it authentic, we have to bring in a Jersey producer.
Awesome.
So he went and got K-Def.
That makes sense.
From Passaic. And K-Def was just a beat maker who came in and made Chief Rocka, Funky Child.
Yeah.
Here Comes.
Whoa. He did all of those?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I remember that was part of it.
Yeah. Now I have to say that Marley, nobody mixes better than Marley to me. You know what I mean? Especially back then. You know, him and Teddy Riley was one of the only two to have
the
boards in a crib.
In a crib. Like,
in a basement.
Yeah.
You know? It's the house of hits to you and me.
Yeah, that's right. And
me too.
Right. And me. And so K-Def, he bought in K-Def and you know, man, he turned.
So K-Def made those beats, but then Marley mixed it, enhanced it, made it sound.
And if for some reason, I have to imagine there are people out there who listen to 1UP and still don't know Real Live. This was their main record.
Oh, man. Shout out to Real Live, K-Def, Larry O, for real, man.
If you've never heard Real Live, it was a quick moment in time.
I'll leave them fools like heroin.
Wow, I remember this.
Yes, this was so hard. K-Def, Larry O. I'm leaving fools like heroin in your nose.
Who's doing those cuts?
K-Def.
I'm leaving fools like heroin in your
nose.
estimate the real live. The gun slinging Fat Mac, a sick Fat Mac. I let blood stain in every spot that I rock.
What a fun fucking time in rap. So many different people would come out, have their little moment.
And they had their moments, yeah.
Yeah, I was playing the other day. I was by, my wife lives in Queens. We were going to her parents' house in Brooklyn, and we were right by Kings Plaza. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know what my favorite line referencing Kings Plaza Mall is? And I pulled up, I wanted to play her The King and I. Mm-hmm. And they're not on, their album Contemporary Jeep Music is not on streaming services for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Sife's looking at me crazy because that's the kind of thing that I bet Sife never listened to.
I listened to it. I went to Majesty's house with DJ Riz.
Well, you could see how I would think that you
because I'm name drop off.
Yeah, the name Jesus Christ, Majesty. Yo, so it's not on there. But I listened to Tears. I was like, you got to hear Tears.
There's so much shit from back then that was like, slight. I mean, kind of indie, but maybe through a major distributor. Like it's not. It's just gone.
And many of them, if it were, and again, back to my thing, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Pro Streaming. But another thing of like groups who were in the streaming era would have gotten to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead, The King and I dropped an album that to me, I fucking loved beginning to end.
Yeah.
But like, what did they probably sold 75,000 copies.
Yeah,
and
it's just,
now that, by the way, that would get you number three on the Billboard charts this week. But, and honestly, we'll get to that about Lords of the Underground too, mm-hmm. because you guys are a group that in my opinion, I think of as like being kind of wildly successful mm-hmm. and also at times forgotten simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
It's really interesting. Yep. So I didn't realize honestly that K-Def did all the sing, like the big joints.
Yeah. K-Def did a lot, man. And thanks to Derek for introducing the two of us.
Derek L.A. Jackson.
Yeah, Derek L.A. Jackson. And when he bought K-Def in, you know, K-Def would he skipped over Chief Rocker. He skipped over Funky Child. And we like, bro, rewind that.
Nah.
Like, nah, you might not like those.
Crazy.
Like, what? Rewind that, man.
Yo, this is
always like that. The producer here is like some other shit.
Here's why. Here's first example of why, for some reason, you never, because I'm guessing we have listeners on the West Coast mm-hmm. and we have listeners in Europe who may have like, just not listen to the album. Like they saw the video on TV, like we do with many things, and they're like, I'm gonna listen to the Lords Underground album. That's a good song. Mm-hmm. Yo, if y'all don't know that the album starts like this, this is out of the gate.
That's how a show starts too.
Oh, every time?
Every time.
What?
Who did this, Molly?
K-Def.
K-Def did this too.
Hey, yo, fucking wake up. Turn your radio up.
What?
It's us.
Yeah,
listen to the gut. It's that style.
Our style.
Your style. Hey, yo, nigga, wake up.
Let me show you something.
Little Jim Carrey reference.
Listen.
It's driving me crazy.
Every time I do
this got us in a beef with Dallas Effects, too.
Which part? I feel like everybody has a story about they were talking shit about Dallas Effects.
Right.
What did you guys say there that was problematic?
It wasn't what we said. It was just this part.
Same one.
People sound like us. They say that we got similarities through the whole rhyme. Same one. Concepts hold nine.
Oh.
Crazy similarities through the whole rhyme. And in the video, we did like this. And you know, Das used to do like this all the time in their video. And people out there, I'm telling you to come here. Or,
like, right, come towards. Yeah. So wait, people thought off of Chief Rocka?
What started this beef was the director of Psycho. He made the Psycho video.
Alfred Hitchcock?
No, Daniel...
Oh, Daniel. You're talking about your Psycho. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
You know what, Sife?
That's the comedy.
Sife, just when I think you can't make a joke that's any dumber, you make one like that and totally redeem yourself. That was the joke I was waiting for.
So I forgot his last name.
Oh, the Psycho video.
Right. So if you look at Coming Live from the Sewer, so if you look at Psycho... The same director directed both videos.
I can see that.
Got it. Okay.
So
okay.
Now he gets Lords of the Underground. I'm going to do similar what I did to Das Effect.
It's all underground sewers.
We're 18, 19 years old. We just want to make a video.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know who, what. We just want our record played. And he does that. So now they go, they're biting off our video.
Right,
the same director did it. We don't even see your video yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then now the magazines would take 3 months to come out before... Now they're, you know, perpetrating like, oh, these guys are beefing. We didn't even know. And, you know, they would have a lot of cats from Brooklyn with them. We would have Zoo Crew with us from Jersey, you know. And so every time we would see each other, the media would just profess that we have a problem with each other. So I guess, and here come the Lords, we kind of been into it a little mm-hmm. bit that said that, you know, everybody is saying that it sounds similar,
mm-hmm.
same rhyme, same line.
Yo, fucking Keith Murray,
mm-hmm.
Tad Das Effects shit.
Yeah.
Shout out to Murray. No. Mobb Deep had Keith Murray shit.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else had Das Effect shit, though. I just talked about this. Remember, Sife? Mm-hmm. I told you I just interviewed someone, and they were like, oh, yeah, we had the problems with Das Effect. And I'm like, everyone seemed to have a little... It's just weird. I don't know what... Yeah. Like, maybe people... I feel like there was also some sort of resentment about their style, like that people thought it was corny.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that it worked well.
It worked very well.
And then it's like... It also really was.
It was gimmicky.
It was gimmicky, but it was theirs.
I was saying
that's what they did. I loved it.
Yeah, it worked. It was theirs.
I loved it as well. I just didn't understand how they were saying Lords of the Underground sound like them when we never diggity-diggity.
No, nothing. There's one thing. There's way more rappers who actually said diggity. Yes,
but you put us with them. But that was only because two guys. Visual.
Two guys. That's why.
And I looked like we was coming from underground.
Yeah. And you're literally Lords of the Underground. They're from the sewer.
Yeah. So that's what they did.
Though. Oh, true. True. Yeah. So this.
The year is 1971.
Ooh. That's a long time
ago. Now comes the first of the children of
long
the
time. Time.
Lords of the Underground. Witness the birth of the funky child. Do it on him. One with the focus on the wall of Brenda. She now likes the Lords, but she used to take the spinners.
She now likes the Lords.
But she used to dig the spinners.
Wow, that's a big... So this is an older demo you were going for at that point.
Cougar. She was
a
cougar.
You were chasing cougars.
My mother hated hip-hop when I first got on. But she's the one who actually gave me the money to do my first demo tape. So I tell people, like, she's the woman who made me believe in unconditional love. Because anytime that you can support something that you hate because you love the person that loves it, that's unconditional love.
Hold on. So you say that's about your mom?
That's
part?
About my mom, right?
Let me hear what you said. Yeah. Sife and I are just fans not understanding the words for 20, 30 years.
Only right.
I mean, the birth
makes sense. Your mom's Brenda?
Yeah.
Got it.
Sife. We're figuring it out.
That's what we do on that. On that, we figure shit out very much later down the line.
This is the biggest one?
Nah, actually. So funny story. We have three big records, right? Funky Chow, Chief Rock, and Here Come the Lords. When Funky Chow, we were in Roscoe Chicken and Waffles in LA. Rest in peace to the homie, PNB Rock.
Yeah.
Because we went in that same restaurant. And, you know, back then we had reps from Elektra and all the record companies. And the rep from Elektra walked in there and said to us, he said, I want to apologize to y'all. And we had our manager with us and we tanned chicken and waffles up. We like, what are you talking about? He was like, Funky Chow is number one hip hop record in Billboard right now. And I was like, well, why are you apologizing? He said, because we didn't believe in the record.
They didn't even work it.
They didn't work it. And it went number
one. It just went,
That's DJs how, just started fucking.
How could you not DJ. Believe in that
and
record?
And to Charles, what's my man? Charles from BLS. He's DJ. Sir Charles. Shout out to Sir Charles, because Sir Charles believed in us from the gate. He used to always push it to college radio, push it to the, and that's what got that record pumping. Thanks to Sir Charles, because he was that Tommy.
Hear that record.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird record, though. So
we looked at him like, what are you talking about? Like, to tell an artist that you didn't believe it. And he said, I promise you the next record, we got y'all. And that next record was Chief Rocker. Chief Rocker went top 40, you know, big record. Mm-hmm. And that was our next biggest record. But now, since after that, even though I think it wasn't my favorite, but it was bigger than all of our records, people don't realize, was Here Come the Lords. Because now they're behind us. Now you got this top 40 record. We got this record we didn't support. Let's pour everything in the Chief.
Right.
Here Come the Lords now. When they should have poured it in the Funky Chow.
Right.
Then we probably would have been 5 million instead of just a platinum group. You know what I mean?
They waited for the next one. You should have just kept supporting that one.
Yeah, we would have been Outkast.
Wow.
And I say that, it with all due respect, because Outkast used to open up for us. I have pictures that you see me from the 90s, and people go, oh, you was biting off of Three Stacks, huh? And I was like, no, actually, this is before Three Stacks.
They were opening up for us.
Right, and they was opening up for us. If you look at my pictures, and then you look at Three Stacks.
Like your style and stuff?
My style.
Really?
And I will say this, and shout out to Three Stacks, because Stacks came up to me at L.A. at their, I don't know if it was a diamond party or something for Outkast. And he put his arm around me, and he said, thank you. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, your style, when you wore that diaper in Funky Child, it made me realize I could do anything.
Wow.
Wow.
And if you look at him and look at me, if you look at my pictures, I see people that see my pictures from the 90s and go like, oh, you was on some three stack stuff. And I'm like, they weren't out yet.
Right. This is before that.
Wow. That's crazy.
So he was emulating me. And with my braids and how I used to wear my bandana, you know, I had Jewels coming to me and be like, yo, I wear my bandana the way I wear
it.
Wow. All right, so let me ask you a question then.
Mm-hmm.
Who were you emulating?
I was emulating my man from Parliament Funkadelic who wore the diaper. That's exactly who I was emulating. You know, George Clinton is from Newark, New Jersey.
Facts.
You know, so when everybody thinks that he's from the West Coast, that's a Newark sound that the West Coast
that's
has.
That's a fact.
Milk Bar. I still speak to Uncle George to this day. And we did a record with him called Keepers of the Funk in Detroit. And they were sniffing a lot of nose boogies.
I bet they were. I bet they were. This album was platinum though, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love this joint too. Like I said, half of... I used to love the old video switching in the middle.
Yeah.
And I always also loved a DJ record. I'm a sucker for a DJ record.
Love a DJ record.
Shout out to Lord Jazz, man, and Mr. Funky. We had to put Lord Jazz on this, and I had to write him a rhyme. I had to hear Jazz rhyme in this.
Lord Jazz, hit me one time for the people, cause I bet they're not believing that you come from Cleveland. Mix the funk.
Yo, how dare you, Scythe?
What's that?
How dare you ask where fucking Lord Jazz was from?
Cleveland.
I didn't know.
He says blatantly, I bet they're not believing that you come from Cleveland.
I remember now, but I forgot.
They thought he came from Illtown, cause when he moved from Cleveland, he moved to Illtown, man, so. You know, and shout out to Crazy Bone, man. You know, get well soon. Shout out to his family and all that, man.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Cleveland, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why is it Illtown?
Illtown because it's where Double I mean, out in Inglewood, California, and in East Orange, New Jersey. And they just called it, we always call East Orange, New Jersey, Illtown. So they call it Double I and, you know, the Illtown, Trigger Tretch.
You know? Wait, what does that have to do with Inglewood in California?
So, Illtown and Inglewood, that's where Double I comes from. It's Illtown and Inglewood. They put it together. You know, everybody thought that Tretch was from, you know, from the West Coast because of how he dressed. Tretch didn't dress like a typical Jersey guy. He dressed like he was from the West Coast.
Ooh. Oh, that is true. He had like the bandana and all that stuff.
Bandanas, the you know, the Carhartt.
But what was the Inglewood connection?
You know, just the blood type of thing. You know what I mean? A lot of people from Inglewood actually moved to Illtown.
Got it.
With Tretch. And they still live there to this day.
Mm.
Shout out to my Illtown, Inglewood homies.
So were y'all cool with Naughty?
Most definitely. But initially, Redman wanted to rob KG.
Oh yeah, that sounds right.
And it got back to Tretch, or Tiny T as they used to call him. And one thing I can say about Tretch, he always protected his, you know, always be the one to fight. So I'm riding through the neighborhood, Illtown, 118th Street, because he said they had 100 dudes with him, but it was only really 18th Street. And I'm riding through, and he stops my car in the middle of the block. And he says, yo, what's up? Where your homie at? And I'm like, what? What you talking about? Yeah, what's up with your man? I'm here talking a lot of stuff, because they knew Red was my guy. So they stopped me, and he's like, look, go get him and come back. And I was like, so now if I don't come back, I look like a sucker. So now I'm going to come back. And I come back with Doc. And that's how we all became cool. After I brought him back, we kicked it. And, you know, it was love.
Sheesh. Also, real quick, I just want to say, I've seen KG get down. He's also not one to fuck with, yo.
No, he's
KG
not.
KG was not. He's so such a cool dude.
KG I've seen and him go, Pookie, his brother Pookie is very nice.
No, Pookie's the opposite of nice. Pookie's the street guy.
Yes.
But I've seen KG fight. And I was like, oh shit.
No, KG gets busy.
It didn't remind you of the keys on I Miss You by Biggie? It was a different vibe that he gave you when he was throwing.
It's a different
but
vibe.
KG was always the one with the gold chains, the cars.
Yeah, he really did.
He was the fly guy.
Yeah, he was.
So people wanted to test him. And Red was one of those guys, like, man, when I see him, I want to rob. You know, just being young. And Tretch heard, like, what? You want to what?
I saw Vin, by the way. I want to get Vinny on the podcast soon. I saw Vin rock last week.
Shout out to Vin, man. That's my brother.
I saw Vin at the airport recently in Miami.
Yeah.
Yo, it was great. We had a conversation. I was asking about how's Hip Hop 50 been? Well, they haven't done that much. They haven't done shows together recently. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, oh, you know. And he was just like, we started talking about the business and he was just like, we're good. We're good. The deals that we signed and the way we handled our money, we're not good. Naughty's not one of those.
Yeah.
Like they got theirs.
No, they really.
And I was like, that is fucking cool, man.
Not to speak about their business, but when you talk about real estate from hip hop,
he told the story that night.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Him and KG have been, Naughty has been owning real estate on the West Coast and the East Coast for over 20 years.
So I saw him at this panel thing about Jews and blacks and hip hop, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
So his story that he told, his way of kind of, we didn't talk about divide really, or as I said in the monologue at the beginning, because I'm always down to say some uncomfortable shit. Right. We're not going to sit here and talk about bullshit Kanye said on Drink Champs. We're here to have positive conversation.
Right.
And the story that Vin told was basically about their business manager early on who took their OPP early money and explained to them about investments, and they did it. And to this day, are living basically off the properties they bought.
Wow, that's great.
Prior to 1993.
Yes. You're talking about early 90s, not even late 90s or 2000s.
Nah, this is going 90s. All the way back.
No, they still got it. They still got it.
Wait, I have to leave.
Yeah, we're going
to
continue.
Please continue.
Yeah.
But I just want to jump ahead a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just into this whole political shit. Sorry, I don't mean to say it like that. where did I see you? Okay, the Soul Diggers, K-Mac and them.
Yeah, shout out to K-Mac. That's my brother.
K-Mac and then his boy is also your boy that...
Yep.
Who am I thinking of? What's his name?
You talking about Sev?
Exactly.
I'm rocking Sev right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Sev right now.
So he always used to be in the studio with us, and he'd be like, nah, do it all. Is doing this for Newark, doing this for Newark. Mm-hmm. And and then they were like, oh, he's running for office. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. How? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then you did it. Newark is its own world, and the streets and the politics always run... Mm-hmm. Just side by side because it's like those are the two power players in the city. That's and facts. in Jersey. And it's so amazing how you took, it's really, really makes me proud that a hip hop artist, not somebody that, I used to rap in college, a hip hop artist, right. Successful, mm-hmm. went into that world. And I think it's going to open the doors for a lot of other people to go that way what is it? It's influence.
Look at Quavo right now.
Yeah, I see it.
Killer Mike has been doing it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Wait, what's Quavo doing?
Quavo is now. He's been building on gun reform.
Oh, because, look what happened. It takes a spark to,
Right. And I just, me and Lord Finesse be hanging out a lot now. You know what I mean? And
it's a Lord thing.
Yeah, it's a Lord thing.
Sure.
That's my brother, man.
I can never figure out how to spell his name.
It's the F-I. I get what you're saying.
Sorry.
Double S.
Right. And he was saying the same thing. He said that initially, the hip hop industry wasn't sure if I was going to pull a Mace on them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. They weren't sure if I was serious.
Right.
And then when they saw it was
by pull a Mace, do you mean become a pastor and then eventually do a sports show where you just pause people? Shouts to Mason.
Yeah, the pause. Shout out to Mason Bethel. God.
But just saying that.
The pause game is crazy.
It's crazy, right?
Those guys.
They didn't know if I was serious with the politics, if I was doing it because the records weren't selling or wasn't as popular as hip hop.
Well, yeah, I can see the authenticity. And also because I had a weird connection with your people that I would always hear about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like, oh my God. When you said Killer Mike, there was a clip that went on TikTok I saw. It had to be a couple of years ago where he met Farrakhan. You saw that? He
started crying.
He was crying. I would do the same thing if I met Farrakhan.
Yeah, I would too.
Bro, I used to work in KB Toys in a mall in Long Island.
You guys got
to
laugh at that joke or I get canceled. Jesus Christ. Fuck. I put myself out there and he just blows
it. I got it.
All right, continue.
So I used to work in this toy store. Remember they used to play Farrakhan on BLS on Sundays?
Yes.
So I had a Barbie radio or something, and I'd be cleaning up the store listening to Farrakhan, and my very white boss would be like, will you turn that shit off? I'm like, when the store opens, I'll turn it off.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm really proud of what you're doing.
Appreciate
and
it.
And if I can help in any way now that I'm a broadcaster.
That's right. You're a journalist.
I'm definitely not a journalist. That's too far.
I went too far.
Barely broadcaster.
And just so you know, I respect what you do, but also I'm keeping an eye on you.
Right.
Because I see the way you keep using our first names every time you speak to us, and that's a real politician move. he's getting into your head every time he goes, right, Pete?
Right, no, Pete? He's calling me Rosenberg too, I think.
Yeah.
I think
he said both. No, he's
no, no, he's a slick politician.
You ever seen him with his suit vest?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen the suit vest.
You seen the suit vest in the office?
Shout out to Michael Bivens for the suit vest.
Yeah. The man invented the suit vest.
but keep talking hip hop.
Yo.
Thank you so much for doing this.
You go perform in front of 23 white people downtown.
Straight white males coming back, baby.
Hey, straight white males. Okay.
Tell my agents that. All right, bye. Bye, guys.
Later, Scythe.
The room's about to quiet down, guys. It's about to get very low key. All right, so as we continue on with Do It All.
Yes, sir.
You know, my, let's stay on Here Come the Lords here for a second. Mm-hmm. So my I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. But as a kid, my favorite record, like my joint off the album, like not the singles, my joint was this.
Underground.
It was like the perfectly, it had that underground hip hop horn. Yeah, I guess it gave me Pete vibes.
That's right.
In some way.
Yeah, that's right. And what people don't realize too, we used to hang with the youngsters a lot. So the youngsters,
of course you did, yeah.
So the youngsters actually are doing the backgrounds with us. Keep it underground.
Really?
Keep it underground.
Jersey
yeah.
also.
Yeah. No, they Philly.
No, Philly.
They're Philly.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. It's so close.
And Pete, it's funny that you say that same thing with Philly, because when I first met Beans in Philly, I mean, I walked into, Black Hand used to manage them. My man Craig King, who's produced for Kanye, a bunch of people, Aaliyah. But we go to meet Black Hand for some reason in Philly. We walk into this real sketchy house, real sketchy block. We go in. The dude at the door definitely had it on him. You know what I mean?
That one of those situations.
Yeah. We go in. It's like a house with an old grandma dining room table. And standing in the corner is this guy who's looking like he's protecting everything. And it just happens to be Beanie Siegel.
Wow.
And Beanie Siegel walked, not really popular yet, walks up to me and says, while he's securing the place, and says, sleep for dinner's my shit. And then he fades back into the corner again. And then...
let's hear sleep for dinner for a second. Hold on.
Sleep for dinner. Yeah. Beanie Siegel favorite record off of there.
Who did this one?
Molly.
Such a vibe, bro.
Yeah. And then Petey Crack once said to me, man, and talking about the Philly and Jersey connect, he was like, yo, man, I loved y'all. And he said, my style is part of Lords of the Underground. I'm like, Petey Crack? So when I hear Petey Crack and Memphis Bleak, I feel like we're their uncles and grandfathers of hip-hop, because I heard Memphis Bleak say that he got his style from Petey Crack. And Petey Crack went on record to say his style was influenced by Lords of the Underground. So if Memph Bleek is influenced by Petey Crack, then ultimately they all influenced by Lords of the Underground.
And do you feel that you guys have gotten your due?
No.
I can't imagine you do.
No, we don't. And I'll tell you why, too. Like, and this has just happened. So we get a call maybe about 2 days ago. That they want us to perform at the BET 2023 Awards. And something happens where I get a call from my publisher and says, hey, we getting a check from the BET 2023 Awards. I'm like, oh, great, because they just called us. So we're going to perform on it. And then a production team calls and says, we're going in another direction. We're not going to use your music, but we're not going to use you to perform. So it's things like that that has happened to Lords of the Underground over and over. At one point, though, Rosenberg, it's like, I feel like we're this successful group that doesn't get recognized for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if somebody had, if Funk was banging somebody's girl, or I don't know what it is.
Were you guys, like, is there anything you can see that could have been your fault?
I mean, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm sure. And I don't mean in a business, I don't mean like making business mistakes. We all do that. But yeah, like, were you guys assholes, difficult in any time?
Man, it's three of us. So I can only attest for me. You know, I try not to be. I still have relationships and rapport with people who, you know, who are legends in the games. I'm still included in a lot of things. I can't speak that for my partners as well. I don't know what they do when they're on their own time, you know, so.
But what do you think is the most likely reason?
I don't know, because then I have to speak for the whole Jersey. In the 90s, I believe that Jersey ran hip hop. And it's an arguable, you know.
It's, I mean? Listen, I think you'd run up into trouble. But I appreciate, from a sports talk radio host, I appreciate right, the hot take of it. But it's a hell of a run. It's a hell of a run.
But hear what I'm saying. Like, we had a lot to do with a lot. If Ran is too far fetched,
but still,
word.
It's Latifah, it's Naughty, it's Redman, it's y'all.
It's Fugees, every one of them. It's Redman, it's Lords of the Underground, it's Apache. It's Lock Kemp. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I'm talking about the Outsiders. Wise Intelligent.
It's a lot of people, bro.
It just goes on. And I'm talking about platinum selling artists, right? So when you speak of the 90s and we're barely mentioned, and they might, then they go, oh yeah, Redman. Or they go, oh yeah, Latifah. It's like, wow.
You know what? This resonates with me. I really feel you guys. Cause like, your contributions were 100% there. Mm-hmm. And like, I could go through a lot of underground groups who I liked.
And you be on it too.
Thank you. With this stuff, I do. Talk. With this stuff, I'm on it in this area. And when I would get to their album, you know, like if this, I say this with all due respect. If I were to get to Original Flavor's mm-hmm. albums, we'd have a song and then the conversation moves on. Mm-hmm. I Love Hard to Obtain. We'd play one song, we move on. It's a rarefied air when you get to the next level of have an album or two. And then on that album, mm-hmm. not only are there multiple good songs, you know, there are multiple well-known songs on that album. Multiple singles that made an impact, videos that people saw. Mm-hmm. That starts to get you into a category of bigger artists who are way more remembered,
right,
like a Naughty by Nature. Now, granted, they're a tough example. They had literally two of the biggest hits in hip-hop history. But my point is, like, you start to get to this next level up that for some reason, you know, listen, I always like to look back at what did we do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with what you guys did wrong.
Right.
I hate Flo On.
You hate Flo On?
I don't like Flo On.
Yo, that's the first person I ever heard that.
I don't.
The
Pete Rock version's cool. I liked it. Hate is strong. I'm trying to get a reaction out of you. It didn't give me the level of excitement that I had off of the first album met by the start of the rollout of the second album.
Yo, Pete, you're the first person. I respect it, but you're the first.
I'm just trying to think, because like, did it do well? Did I miss the?
Yeah, it did good. It did good.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look.
You know, it did good.
Maybe looking back on it, maybe TikTok it doesn't push you guys to the next level. Maybe it feels like a continuation, but not a growth.
I go with that. And I'm agree with you, because we made this second album, and no excuses, but we made this second album while on tour.
Of course.
Remember, we had about six singles off of the first album and videos.
Check It, Psycho, Chief Rocker.
But we had all of these records, and we did our second album while being on the road. And Ruben Rodriguez was like, come home. Come on.
We need to finish.
And we like, but we making all of this money. At one point, we making $80,000 a night.
Wow. And who were you out with on most of the touring of the first album?
Man, we were out with people who were not hip hop artists.
Really?
Yes.
Y'all made it to that point where you were out there throwing you out with like who?
what's the jazz white boy jazz player that plays the guitar? Oh man, I'm tripping.
We'll figure it out.
It's gonna come to me.
Kyrie can figure it out.
But we were
confident.
We were out with Cypress Hill.
Okay.
You know,
and they were rap, but they were reaching other crowds.
They were straight rock rap stars.
Yeah.
So we're out with all of these guys.
Oh, because they're already on Black Sunday shit by then.
Right. So we're out with all of these other stars who are not considered underground rap. And we were considered underground rap. So now we're making underground rap mad at us because we said we're not going to go pop.
You blatantly said that. I don't want to go pop.
I don't want to go pop. But even though in the music, we didn't feel like we went pop, but still on the status of performances, we getting $80,000 a night back then. And we're on stages with groups that are not MOP, that are not Dos Effex, that are not our equivalents. You know what I'm saying? We're on stage with multi-million dollar jazz artists. And if it was rap, it was people like Luke and Cypress Hill. And we weren't doing those type of, we were doing like pop rap.
So then you come back and you've been working on these songs on the road. Who produced TikTok?
Marley
produced TikTok. Mm-hmm. And did it feel like momentum wise, like it was still going, or did it feel like it was slowing?
It felt like it was still going because of the stages that we were on. You know, when those bright lights are in front of you and the check is there, it feels like it's still going. And a lot of times, even when you're having success, so when Chief Rocka is banging in the city, we're on a roll working. We think you're just playing that record because we coming to do a Rosenberg interview at the station. Right. We're not there in the city. We're moving so fast. We're not in the city to see it play every hour on the hour or being in the mix. We just know it was added in the city. So we're thinking that it's still going. It's not until Faith came out, which we got a BET single award for, that we realized that it wasn't moving in the underground as we thought it was moving.
Let's hear the song that I made too strong a statement on of Flow On, which I haven't heard for a long time. You know what's funny about the song?
On the microphone, when I MC, I'm invisible. None of y'all can see me because I'm going like a helicopter, sting like a laser. Like Holly, I'm sure it'll be made. When the Lord's roll thick like Lord, they can say, oh my God. Look at how you step to me, claiming you can rhyme. But just like Eric Sermon said, it was all in your mind. If you can't get rid of it, then get gone. Fear no man, fear no man. If it's on, then it's on.
Stated it. I like it. Mm-hmm. I don't love the hook. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. Doesn't. I just started listening to another song this week from that era that I felt the same way about. Right. I was like,
it shout just, out to Taj Mahal too from the youngster because he was on that.
That's him on the hook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what the beat is when you really think about it. Mm-hmm. The beat is sort of, I don't want to say a lazier version, mm-hmm. but very similar, but not quite as dope to me as this. Tell me if you hear it. The way the doom,
yep.
doom,
yep.
doom,
I'm
doom.
With you, I'm with you.
Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Definitely. Yep. And Pete did it.
And Pete did it. Yep. This is just fuller to me. I'm not that this was a hit either. This was a B-side, but I'm just trying to like figure out what could have happened. But none of it explains why you'd be left out of the story now. Because like to me... And it's funny that you bring up the BET Awards because I literally just saw last week they have a category called like hip hop platform. Mm-hmm. You know, these motherfuckers came up with everything that they could nominate to not mention any of the things that I'm a part of. Yo, Ibra, Laura and I, no mention. They just have random hip hop sites. It'll just be like all hip hop, mm-hmm. like, you know, Joe Budden, Breakfast Club, all the general stuff. You know, every other podcast that came after 1UP. So I understand, like, there are these random...
That should be mentioned, man.
I'm proud of, especially on the morning show. Like, this I know we do, but it's very niche. Mm-hmm. The hip-hop shit that we do on the morning show is for a broad audience, and it's so hip-hop. Like, with all due respect to the other people who do shows on radio, it's not even the same category. Like, they're not even close to as hip hop as we are content wise.
Nah.
Not even close. I'm not saying anything about the level of entertainment, what you choose to enjoy, but I'm just saying, like, the sheer level of rap conversations that we have.
Come on, you, Ebro. Man, come on, man. Y'all.
I don't know, man. There's sometimes things that for some reason, even though they resonated at the time and there are so many people who fuck with it, for some reason, because it doesn't make sense that you guys wouldn't end up in those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, we sold more records than our counterparts and they're mentioned. And we go, well, why didn't they mention us? Like, we were that in the 90s. We were Migos in the 90s.
Did y'all get your share of Hip Hop 50 bookings?
I will say that I have. Like, I've performed my verses at these hip hop events without my partners.
So it wasn't like, so the whole group wasn't invited. They would be like, hey, you want to come out and pop out?
If I did 20 things, my group with me did 10 or 8.
Got it. And those other ones, are those official gigs? Or they're official. Like, yo, come out and do your thing, but like they just
Radio
book you?
Radio City and...
Oh, like Cassidy's thing?
Cassidy, Atlantic City. You know, I just did... Where's Pete from? Mount Vernon, you know, Hip Hop Festival, just me, you know, so I've done pretty much. And that's just because our thing is, even if the other cats can't make it, other group members can't make it, you know, it's about continuing to get our legacy, keep our legacy alive as Lords of the Underground, you know.
I should add, you guys are not the only group that doesn't get yours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think... You mentioned them earlier. I don't think Digables gets theirs.
No. They on the road now too, man.
They're back out, I saw. Yeah,
shout out to them too.
But considering the popularity of the albums.
Grammys. And, yeah.
And the quality. Good quality, like, yeah. You know, my girl's younger than me. The other day I played Where I'm From. She was like, what is this? I was
You know, it's funny because Ish, shout out to Ish, Knowledge, and Mecca. But people don't realize that Ish is the brother of Geechee.
Wow, really? I don't think I realized that.
Listen to him. Listen to Geechee and listen to Ish. Geechee sounds just like Ish. That's his big brother. Man, they sound the exact same.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, that's his brother. That's literally his big brother.
That and so they're another one that they don't get necessarily. I feel like Dos Effects sometimes ends up not getting what they should be getting.
Shout out to you know, Books and Dre's too, man. Dre's, I mean, continue to get well,
and they do shows. Mm-hmm. Are they both doing shows?
Yeah, they both do shows.
But like, I just sometimes feel like in the conversation, you know, I fight to have these platforms so we can make sure that there are going to be places that celebrate.
Yeah. We appreciate that too.
There's a lot. There's so much more to be celebrated, and Hip Hop 50 is great. Ebro and I sort of disagree, but it makes sense that we disagree because I've always been more, and maybe this is rooted. I don't want to feel like getting too deep. It could be rooted in some level of privilege of mine growing up that I'm like, well, fuck the money because I'm not as worried about money. But whatever, Ebro has way more money than me now. So I feel like we can speak evenly about this.
Right.
I get grossed out, of course, at the level of corporate pile on. You know what I mean? Like,
I get you.
I get it. Y'all want to sell your fucking Google Pixel. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that people can make some money. But until I am able to see the financial distribution of it, like, pardon me if I'm not like, yay, thank you so much. Because who's ultimately making the money when those shows happen? Right. The breakdown of I'm sure some are great. Mm-hmm. Sure, sometimes the show breakdown is great. You would know better than I do because you know what you've made on some of these shows.
No, they've been cool.
But I'm sure on other ones, mm-hmm. there are a lot of corporate people shaking hands and making a lot of money.
Right.
And then the artists are told, hey, we have time for you to do two songs and we have $5,000, mm-hmm. you know, after taxes,
$2,500.
Yep. I don't know. The corporate involvement of it is cool. I just think we need to continue this celebration of classic shit well beyond now.
And I don't know if you feel the same way too, though, but you know, I got a call from a couple of my friends and we were just chit chatting about Hip Hop 50. And they were saying Hip Hop 50 is older than 50, dude. I'm like, yeah, but people are not saying that. And I think that the Hip Hop 50 people need to realize is really the celebration of Kool Herc and his sister throwing a party in a rec room at 1520 Cedric Cedar. You know what I mean? Cedric
it's,
and Cedar.
Yeah. It's generally, we have a date that is generally a good date to go with.
Yeah. But it's really older than that. But
it
if
is.
If you start getting into that, then you go down this rabbit hole that causes confusion. You go down this rabbit hole that you can't really pick what date it really is.
Truthfully, you know what I would have done? I know it would have made a lot of people sick because they'd be like, that record, blah, blah, blah. If you were really forward thinking on it and you thought about how much there could be in it if we had more time, even more time, I made it, might have made it 1979 and played 50 off of when rap really came out in a real way. Main Rapper's thing. Delight drops in July 1979. Again, I know there are people like, man, Rapper's Delight gets all. I get it. And I understand. We all understand what that record is.
Right.
But don't deny what that record is either. That's in right. terms of the Amy explosion.
With it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's a very clear, easy date. You can get the actual release date
That's
of
right.
the single on Sugar Hill Records. And the beauty of it is it gives us six more years right now to build for 50. But I don't know that people realized how much there was to do with 50. You know what I mean? And shout out
a label in Jersey.
Well, there you go again.
Right.
Another thing Jersey. To celebrate.
Right.
So before I let you get up out of here, do you have an overall, besides your, obviously the part of you that just wants to continue to give back to the community from which you came, do you have like a set political aspiration that you know you're trying to get to? Or are you just trying to ride this thing and see where it goes? Or do you just have goals that you want to get done and then you'll consider what's next? Like, how do you view things for your career?
It's an honor for me to govern where I grew up, right? So to govern where I grew, like I'm literally in charge of the community that I grew up in, that Redman grew up in, that Rod Digger grew up in, that the Artifacts grew up in, that Queen Latifah.
We didn't mention the Artifacts before. Glad you did.
Shout out to Artifacts. And I got a record with Ella Sensei and my cousin on this new project called The Cousins. That's crazy. But I get to govern, you know, I get to make legislation with Tupac and I talked about. I get to make laws and present laws in the community where I was jumping the gates running from police that me and Reggie was doing crazy things in. And we actually sat on my porch years ago. That's why words are powerful and talked about building community centers and doing things in our community when we were 13 years old. And now to be 50 and talking about it and actually doing it from a standpoint, a political standpoint, is nothing that I ever thought that I would do, but I'm here. And I look at it like my journey as a highway, right? Like, you know, I remember being in Germany one time at the Mercedes-Benz dealership where they actually make Mercedes. And I remember that we were on the line. It was the head where they put the headlights in. And they were talking about the dimensions of the headlights. And they said, these headlights see 200 feet in front of you. And I know they were just talking about a car, but it sparked something in me to say, wow, these headlights see 200 feet in front of me. But that's when it's not moving. When it moves, you see another 200 feet. When you move, you see another 200 feet. If I get up and walk into the middle of the room, I start to see what's on the balcony that I can't see while I'm off in the distance. So I started to say, wow, you know, a movement's not a movement if you're not moving, right, in a forward direction. And as you move, you start to see on-ramps and off-ramps and destination signs that you couldn't see when you were off in the distance. Mm. So I can't really answer what I will be doing, but I'll tell you that this is a heck of a journey that I'm honored to be on. I'm happy to be on this journey. You know, and whatever the universe got for me, whatever God has for me, you know, we're going to do that. And until then, I'm going to unapologetically continue to be hip hop because this is what was asked of me to represent my culture here at this table. I know that this table has been built over hundreds of years before I've come, you know, and shout out to Shine Barrow, too, because we brought him to Newark and made Belize City. In Newark, a sister city. So I'll be traveling out to Belize City with him in November in my city on behalf of politics, but on behalf of hip hop. And I tell people all the time that this is not just me being an elected official in the city of Newark. This is an elected official that is for the culture of hip hop. So I am a representation for the culture of hip hop. So utilize me, utilize our city. And that's what we're going to do, man. And you know, like, I steal hip hop. I use it as a therapy. I have a studio in Newark, New Jersey. So, you know, just keep making music and keep hip hop. And it's my culture. It's my therapy, man. You know,
that was beautifully said.
Appreciate it, man.
No, I appreciate you being here. It makes a lot of sense, by the way, especially the analogy to the headlights. You know what I mean? And what becomes available as time goes on, why it's very hard to have any, you know, set idea of where you're going to go when you right. can't quite see. That's very well said. Do you want to introduce this young lady who's sitting here with us, by the way?
Yeah, this is Fatima B, man. You know, Fatima is I call her a songbird, man. She's an R&B singer, you know. And like I said, I own a studio in Newark, New Jersey. So she's done music with Redman and all of that. And she's actually my cousin. So one day she came to me and she's like, "Cuz, you know, I've never done any music with you. I've done music with your friends, but I haven't done it with you." So I was like, "Just pop by the studio one day." And one day she came by and we got into a conversation before we started to create music. And through that conversation, like even with all of the things I've done and successes I've had in my life, I feel like my grandmother has been my guardian angel. Like she's been there with me because I've never met her. She died when my mother was 15 and Fatima's father was 9 because my mother and her father are brothers and sister. So we never met her. And she really started to tear up and was like, "Wow, I feel the same way that grandma, even though I never met her, was my guardian angel." So we made this one record. And it was just amazing. And we said, "Let's just keep making music." And that music was inspired by the love that we have for our grandmother that we never even met. And her name is Elma. And then we know Elma in other languages is defined as soul. You know, her voice is just Mary-ish, you know, Faith-ish, you know. So we just made this album and this music like hip hop and R&B type, like Mary and Meth type of album. We named it after our grandmother, inspired by our grandmother. We released it on our grandmother's birth date, which is always also hip hop's birth date. And if this was the 90s, she would already be double platinum. And I really just do it for therapy. I'm not trying to be on everybody's radio. I mean, to have your music heard by the masses is always great, but it's just therapeutic for me, man. And to do it with my family member, my cousin, you know, Elma, man, it's on all streaming services and all of that, man. And it's actually doing good. People love it, man. Adult contemporary hip hop.
Anything you want to add about working with your cousin?
This project has been absolutely amazing. And I keep reiterating the same thing is that the alignment of everything, how everything happened and the dates and the times. And me and Dude, as we got into the studios, a lot of this stuff was not premeditated or pre-recorded. We went in, we heard the tracks, and we would start writing. He go in one corner, I go in the other. By the time we meet in the middle, it's like, oh, snap. Like, we never had to change much. It was all
right. It all went.
Mm-hmm. Everything flowed. So to just be at this point and just kind of hear what comes of the album, it's surreal, to be honest. We always say, like, you know, when you listen to the album, we mesh well. I'm very, very proud of this project.
That's super cool. Elma is available streaming everywhere. Yeah. Dupre Kelly, when are you up for election again?
26, man. 2026.
Oh, we got a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Mayor Rajay Baraka. Shout out to Mitty Baraka. Shout out to my council colleagues, man. I'm learning a lot, though, Pete. You know, I feel like community is not a problem. Like, I'm well etched in the community. I had to find my footing when it comes to governance.
I would think so.
You know, I feel like I'm still finding it, but I'm cool. Politics, that's the thing that's forever changing, that's swift, and there's no permanent friends, there's no permanent enemies and things of that nature. So, you know, that's the part that you got to stay on your toes and deal with, man.
No, I mean, it's when you see the people who make it far.
Yeah.
You understand why it takes a rare breed of good person to be able to do it. Barack Obama's don't just grow out of the ground that you just find, like, that's a unique. And even in the case of Barack, who his character is so, like, he's such a rare breed of character. But Barack also still, as a result, you can look back at his presidency and see the political decisions that he had to make, the sort of centrist president he had to be to even get to where he was at.
Right.
How wonderful a human being he is. I mean, it's just a challenge, bro. It's just a challenge. You know, shout out to the people who are like, really getting after it, the AOCs of the world who are like,
shout out to AOC, man.
Who's on their grind and willing to be kind of like knocked down at every turn.
Yeah.
And it's just hard. It's a really, really hard game. And, you know, especially in these days, at this very moment in time, I think some of us as big time progressives are forced to take on a more centrist stance at times because of what we're dealing with on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as a 44-year-old, I get in arguments sometimes with my younger friends, and it's not because I've lost my ideals in any way. It's just because I have a bigger view of what the political field is right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we still have opportunities to push this party more progressive.
Yes.
The thing is, you may not be able to do it in the specific moment when you're fighting against utter, pure right wing evil.
Oh,
you might have to come together, do some centrist things to send them away, and then be able to be like, now we need to push ourselves even further where we are.
Right.
So sometimes I get very frustrated with these conversations every day when Joe Biden's not the perfect candidate for everyone. He's not. Listen, if you notice, Democrats don't fly Joe Biden flags, okay? But at the same time, I got news for you. We're not running a different candidate.
Right.
So let's so we have, these are the options we got. You know what I mean? You could try to come up with something else if you want. I could tell you what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to only take votes away from this side.
That's right.
It's unfortunate, and I hate that that's the game, but that is the game that we operate in.
That is the game.
We're in dangerous territory of where a lot of this nation looks like 1930s Germany. You know what I mean? It sounds really crazy and aggressive, but it exists.
But it exists, bro.
It's an underbelly that's really there. And I know it sounds so old. And as you get older, you realize time isn't as long. Because it sounds crazy. People are like, 1930s Germany. What? No, in the 1930s in Germany, they thought they were good.
They thought they were good.
Like society was civil. Like they were like, it wasn't like shit was fucking crazy. People had jobs, they had families, they had kids.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, people keep talking about the Jews. But I mean, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get older, you realize that wasn't that long ago.
That's right.
Crazy shit can still happen.
That's right.
We act like it's over.
No.
Bro, the crazy shit might not, we don't even know what, the next crazy shit might be crazier than we've ever seen before.
Ever.
So anyways, this has been really cool. Let's do it again.
Man, let's do it again, man.
A lot more to do.
Congratulations and happy 50th to you too, man, because you definitely have a mark, man.
First, I thought you meant my birthday. I was like, damn, don't rush me, bro. I'm 44. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Happy hip-hop 50.
Happy hip-hop 50 to everyone out there. Do it all. Do Break Kelly, man.
Thank
you.
Shout out to Kai Will, man.
Yeah, Kai Will, my man, Kyrie.
That's right.
Thank you for making sure we got this done.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.